I will be in Psalm 90 in a few minutes if you want to turn there or tap there on your device. If you're using a Pew Bible, it's on page 512. And today's message is called 1,000 Years. 1,000 Years. So it's January 1st, right? We all know that. It's a new year. I wonder how long it'll take me to stop writing 2022 on my documents and start writing 2023. I'll mess it up. I do it every year. Maybe some of you do that as well. We tend to look back on the outgoing year. We kind of think about, you know, take stock, what happened in the last year, the good stuff and the hard things. And we have hope in a new year. You know, it's kind of like what Kelvin Miller said up here. What did you say, Kelvin? It was like a reset or something like that. You don't remember what you said. What? Yeah, some people look for a reset. Right, right. We look at that. You know, it's new year on the calendar. The thing about it is that New Year's Day today is only because we say it's New Year's Day. And enough people around the world, most people around the world agree that January 1st is the new year. There's nothing inherently special about this day. There's really only a few things that are fixed that we measure time by. First of all, how long does it take the earth to go around the sun? And then how long does it take the earth to turn around and create night and day? We've got a year and a day. And then for some people, the different moon phases are how they measure time. Really, the rest of it's arbitrary. We could say, well, our new year starts on March 1st, if we got enough people to agree to that, but we don't do that. You could take a day, a trip where the earth rotates once. You could divide that up into 10 equal measurements and call that an hour or something else. You could divide it up into 20 or 30 or any other number. You could have 5 days in a week. Or you can divide the year up into 10 segments and call them months. Our calendar in itself, it's a tool to help us mark time, but it really means nothing. Do you know that there are other calendars in use? And I don't mean just ones that have fallen out of use, but today, there are people that mark time differently than most of us do, or all of us, really. We used a Gregorian calendar that was introduced by Pope Gregory in the 16th century, so he named his calendar after himself. That was pretty bold. And that was a slight revision to the Julian calendar, which is almost exactly the same. And that was ordered by Julius Caesar in BC 46. And he named his calendar after himself. Now, almost all businesses and governments around the world use the Gregorian calendar, the calendar that you use, the day it says on your phone or on the, if you have a wall calendar or however you look at what day it is. Pretty much everybody uses that, even if in other cultures they use another calendar for other reasons. But this has become the de facto calendar for a very long time now. So we've got the Hebrew calendar, first of all, that you might be familiar with some of that, and that's still used by some Jewish people. And it's still, to this day, used to calculate Jewish holidays. That's one of the reasons Easter moves around, because it's connected to Passover. And in the Jewish, or the Hebrew calendar, it's not 2023 today. It's the year 5783. And today is not New Year's Day on the Hebrew calendar. That happens on September 25th on our calendar. And their celebration lasts for 2 days. Now, the Chinese calendar, you might be hear about, the Chinese New Year, when it starts. Chinese calendar is figured very differently than ours. So the Chinese New Year, and I have to read this to get it right, all right? The Chinese New Year usually, but not always, usually falls on the second new moon after the winter solstice. That's how they figure their calendar. So it moves around. This year, the Chinese New Year will be January 22nd. In 2024, it'll be on February 10th. Moves around every year. There are other calendars in use as well. People in Iran use a much different calendar. I went on a site and just, how many calendars are there, even ancient ones until today? And so I started counting them. It didn't have a count on there, so I just counted on the screen, you know. And I got to 70 and decided I'm not going to count anymore. I'm bored counting. So there's over 70, I can tell you that. Many of them are not in use anymore. The point of all that is not everyone marks time in the same way we do. And if you're confused, I promise I'm going somewhere with this, all right? There are dates on our calendar that mean something to you, even though it's really kind of arbitrary. It still means something to us. Some dates mark good things. This thing happened on this date, and it's a good thing. It's something to celebrate. Some things are hard things, and they're reminders of those hard things when those dates roll around. Now, most of you are familiar with the last name Wenger here. There are some Wengers in this room right now, and I don't know if you know this name or not. There might be a few of you that do, but the name Derek Wenger. I know at least three people in the room do, because I know about it. I just found out about it last week. But Derek Wenger died on Christmas Day 39 years ago and 1 week. So last week was 39 years. His parents are Bob and Carla Wenger. They're right in the back there. Now, Derek lived about a day and a half in this world. And I know they think about him often, maybe every day still, I don't know. But I know, without asking them, that there's not a Christmas day that goes by, and they might have some good things happen on Christmas and all of that, but Derek's going to come to their mind. Derek's going to be on their hearts that day. And it still hurts after 39 years. It still hurts. I didn't have to ask him if it does. So I could tell you all day long that the calendar means nothing, today means nothing, and it really doesn't, but you have those dates that stand out for you, and they remind you about the good things and the hard things. So, do you know your own birthday, for instance? I hope so, unless you're one, then can't answer that question. But if you know your own birthday, yeah, that's a date that stands out. My birthday is January 27th. I've never forgotten that. It comes around every year, January 27th. If you are married, do you know your wedding anniversary? Now, men, this should be a yes. And if you're not sure, look it up and tell your wife later. You know your wedding anniversary. It's important to her, but it's important to all of us, right? So we have these dates that remind us of things, and something that happened 10 years ago or 30 years ago or last year, whatever it is. What do you think was going on 1,000 years ago? First of all, you probably don't care what was going on 1,000 years ago. It has no real direct influence on you. One thing that happened in 1223, I didn't know this in my head, I had to look it up, but Louis XIII became the king of France when his father, Philip II, died. So Louis got to be king, not on this date, but in the year 1223. Now, only ancient history buffs, like people that like to really get back, way back in history, care about that. Like, who else cares? I mean, Louis cared, but he's been gone a long time. All right. What was God doing 1,000 years ago? What was he doing? It's the same thing he's doing now. Same thing he was doing yesterday. The same thing he's going to do tomorrow. He's still on the throne. I checked this morning. He's still there. He still hears us. And he still cares for us. Every part of you he cares about. Everything in your life. Every little detail. He's still there. The same thing he's been doing the last 1,000 years, be doing tomorrow. And he's with us this morning, by the way. He's mindful of this worship service. Now, let's look at Psalm 90 and just verse 4. I'm reading from the NIV. That's the same as on the screens and in the pew Bibles. Psalm 90, verse 4 says, and by the way, the psalmist is addressing God here. And he says to God, 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. Think about that. Think about what is being said here. 1,000 years in your sight, God, are like a day that has just gone by, or a watch in the night. Now, don't take that as a formula. So when 1,000 years go by, that's just an earth day. It's 1,000 years ago. It's not a mathematical equation. It's trying to explain something to us that we really can't understand. Because he also said 1,000 years is like a night watch, a watch in the night. That's about 4 hours. So, you know, it's a way of explaining that for God, there is no time. He exists beyond time. He exists outside of time. He is not limited by time. Really, time means nothing to God himself. So it's a day, 1,000 years, a nanosecond, an hour, a week, or whatever it is. It's all the same to God. But we mean something to God. If you were here last week, you may remember that God entered our time. He knows we are bound by time. He knows we are limited by time. And last week I talked about Emmanuel, which means God with us. Jesus entered into our time. Not only did he just enter it, he allowed himself to be bound by time and everything else we're bound by human as human beings. He allowed himself to be all of those things. And so Jesus had to eat, he had to sleep, he had to take care of his body. He wasn't like some superhuman, he was just a normal person. He was still God, but he was also fully man. And so his time with people was limited. Now, I can't see infinite people any more than you can. Even though there were many people that had needs when he was walking this earth in the first century, Jesus did not heal everyone, partly because that was not his main mission. But also, it was because of his limitations of time. And really think about it. God himself, Jesus is God, he entered into our time. That is an amazing expression of love. To love us that much, to come in and be bound by time and all the other things we're bound by. Peter referred to this Psalm 90 verse 4. He talked about it in his second letter. There's 1 Peter and 2 Peter. And Peter brings it up in the context of the return of Jesus. He quotes this psalm and applies it to the return of Jesus. Now, every generation, and maybe you think this, every generation thinks, maybe we're in the last days. I think maybe we are. I've heard that, you know, since I was a kid. And there's nothing wrong with thinking that. Because we need to be ready. We need to be ready like God, Jesus is coming back before the end of the service. Or it might be a long time. It might be after your lifetime on this earth. We need to be ready. But Peter was addressing people who had mocked Christians and said, hey, y'all Christians, you're saying Jesus is coming back. Where's your Jesus? A long time has gone by. You could read the whole chapter later. It's 2 Peter chapter 3. I'm just going to show you two verses. The first verse will have the quote from Psalm 90. And then I just want to give you at least a little context by reading the verse after. You can read the whole chapter later. It's a good chapter. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. Do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years. And 1,000 years... or like a day. He goes on, and this is in the context of Christ's return, in verse 9. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Another expression of love by God. So it seems like a long time to us. You know, almost 2,000 years since Jesus ascended back to heaven, said he's coming back. And there is an appointed time for Jesus to come back, an appointed earth time, a day, a moment. And that moment will, if you're alive when he comes back, it will be literal and it will be visible. You don't worry about missing it. You're not going to miss it. But up to this earth second, as I speak to you, it has not been that appointed time yet. I don't know when it is. Only the Father knows when it is. And verse 9 is still up there. God is not slow. It seems slow to our perception. And he wants everyone to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and repent. And we don't rest as believers. We cannot rest as believers until he comes back or he calls us home. We're called to reach, teach, and serve people in Jesus' name. Just like we were called to that last year. The year before that. This year is no different. We're still called to reach, teach, and serve in Jesus' name. So nothing changes with the mission, even though we flip another year up on the calendar. Because God has never changed. And God will never, ever change. So the mission of the church doesn't change. We just change our methods. We change our style of communication and how we reach people that are far from God, but the truth of God's word never, ever changes, and God himself doesn't change. I'm going to give you a disclaimer before I tell you what I'm about to tell you. And some of you, a few of you know the story. When I get to it, you'll understand. But the disclaimer is, I don't want you to offer sympathy. I don't need texts and cards and like that. But I'm using it to illustrate what time means to us versus what time means to God and what time means to your eternity. I still get sad about it, but truly I'm okay. I'm at peace about it, have been for a long time, I'm at peace with God. But much like Bob and Carla Winger, I have a holiday that's hard too, as many of you do. And that holiday is today. My sister Susan died on New Year's Day in 2012 at the age of 46. She was just a couple weeks, less than 2 weeks before her birthday. Now, I can recall this in my mind like it was last week. 11 years ago, I can't remember what I had for lunch yesterday, but I can remember this like it was really just a day or a week ago or whatever. I remember my movements. I can retrace everything with clarity. Where I was sitting when Diana told me, everything around that time is crystal clear. I can watch it like a movie in my head. And today's kind of a big deal for me. Since that happened, I've never stayed up for New Year's Eve since then, ever. I go to bed kind of a regular time. And I've never been around people I know. We've gone out to movies and things like that. I think we went on a short trip one time. But I've never been around people I know until today. This is the first time I've been around people I know on this day. And I'm glad it's you all. I'm glad it's you. It's been 11 years, 132 months, 4,018 days have gone by. I don't remember those. I had to look it up. You know, isn't our perception of time strange? You're with a good friend. You're hanging out with your friends over at the house, or you're having coffee with a friend, or you're kindling a romance or something like that. And the time with that person, you look at your phone or something, and, well, it's already 2:30, 3. It's been 3 hours. It seems like 10 minutes. You've all experienced this. And then there's other times when time just seems to crawl, and it's all going by at the same time, right? You're at school, and it's 10 minutes before the class is over, and then you get to go home. Or you're at work, and it's 10 minutes, and you get to go home at 5 or whatever time if you're on a clock-type job. And it just seems like a long time. Like, how can 10 minutes seem so long? Depends what you're doing. But our minds play, I don't want to say they play tricks, but we perceive time differently depending on the situation. Sometimes it flies by, sometimes it doesn't. And sometimes, like with my sister, it can feel like a long time ago because it was 11 years. And at the same time, I mean, in the same moment, it can feel like it was last week. Some of you have experienced this. You know what I'm saying. The last Earth Day I saw Susan was December 26th, day after Christmas, 2011. And this is the last picture I took. Now, there were some pictures that her family took. They went on a vacation a few days later. That she died on this vacation. But that's the last picture I have that I took. And the timestamp on the metadata says 9:42 a.m. Christmas Day, December 25th, 2011. When my sister was still bound by time, she couldn't go on her vacation yet because there were some days that she had to go through, right? And there was a day when she was going to come back from her vacation, but she didn't. But 1 week from that day, she entered into an eternity and a timeless existence. And since then, for her and for Derek Winger and everyone that you've lost that's with Jesus now, it's just been heaven. They're just there. I won't even say it's another day in heaven. Because the Bible in Revelation 22, and it says, 21, and then again in 22, says there's not going to be any nighttime. There'll be no nighttime. There'll be no days. No sun. It says there'll be no sun. That the light that we see, it comes from God himself, that he will illuminate heaven with his glory. And so she and Derek and others are there. No days. They're just with Jesus. No time really is going by from their perception. They're present. They're in the presence of the Lord. And we cannot conceive this. You'll never be able to get, I can't get it, because we are bound by time for now. But that does not last forever. There will be an end to time, and then we will experience forever. Now, no way, please, I don't want you to go home sad today. It's not a sad day sermon. I want you to leave encouraged today. I want you to be encouraged for your future on this earth. I want you to be encouraged for your future in eternity. And be encouraged for those you care about on this earth and that have gone into eternity. God described himself in the book of Revelation in a way that he didn't describe himself in any other book of the Bible. And he said it in three different times. I'm going to show you two of those times. Now think of the way he's saying this. Revelation 1, verse 8. So the beginning of Revelation. Here's what he says. I am the Alpha and Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was to come, the Almighty. Then he says in Revelation 22:13, very similar, I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and last, the beginning and the end. Alpha was the first letter of the Greek alphabet. Omega was the last letter, like A to Z. It's everything. And Revelation was written in Greek. Now pay attention to this, I am. You may remember, if you know about when Moses was supposed to go to Pharaoh, and he said, well, Lord, who am I supposed to say sent me? And he said, tell him I am sent you. That's the name for God, I am. And the way these sentences are written, and if I have any school teachers in here, Ruth Girl is a school teacher or was. I think I'm saying it right, that in English it's the perfect present tense. So it's going on now and it will go on in the future. Is that the perfect present tense? Ruth forgot. Okay, any other school teachers want to... anybody want to correct me on that? You can look it up later. I'm not great at that. Okay. The idea being, in the perfect present tense, is that he is all of those things at the same time. He is the Alpha. He is the beginning. He is the end. He is the first. He is the last. He's the beginning and the end. All at the same time. He has no beginning. He has no end. God just is. He is eternal. And we can look to him for our future. We can trust him with our earthly future and our eternal future. Whatever this year brings, and whatever the rest of your life brings, you can trust God with your future. You know a God, I hope you know him, through Jesus. But you know a God that exists apart from time. And he entered our time. When Jesus came to earth, he entered our time. Now when we enter into his eternity, time will be no more. And as you think of that concept, Alpha and Omega, beginning and end, we often say as Christians, well, God knows the future and he controls the future. That's absolutely right. You're not saying anything wrong when you say that, but it goes beyond that, I believe. I like to say that not only does God know the future, God is already in the future. God is your future. And so whatever comes your way this year, there'll be some good things and there'll be some hard things. Just like every other year, right? Whatever it is, God is already there. He's in the future. And he always, always will be. You can count on him to be there. Now today we're going to remember our eternal God. We're going to remember the sacrifice that Jesus made when he entered into our time and he went to the cross and defeated death at the resurrection. The book of Hebrews tells us that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's all eternal, right? So Jesus himself, being God, has no beginning, has no end. And we today, we're going to remember through the Lord's Supper, communion, or Eucharist, whatever you grew up calling it. We remember when he entered our time for a little while and what a loving act that really was. Often we call it the Last Supper, Mark has an account of that. Jesus was eating the Passover meal with his disciples. And I'm picking it up in Mark 14, verse 22. They're not going to be on the screens. While they were eating, so Jesus and the disciples, okay? While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take it. This is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. "This is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until that day." He's still talking about our time. "That day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." Let's pray. Father, as we go into a time of communion, may we be locked into who you are, what you've done for us, how you love us. And may we remember what you've done. I pray, Lord, that this honors you. We thank you for giving it to us as a gift to remember your sacrifice on the cross, the breaking of your body, the shedding of your blood. I pray for every person here that they may hear whatever you want to say to them during this time. Holy Spirit, move. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.